And good morning. Welcome to the Morning Mix, broadcasting live from Abravanel Hall, where principal conductor Connor Covington and the Utah Symphony is rehearsing this morning with Chris Bode. Tonight marks the beginning of their 16th season in Deer Valley, and we're delighted to be here for the third year in a row to kick off the Deer Valley Music Festival. I'm John Wells. I'm here with my co-host Renee Huang, engineer extraordinaire Roger Crawford, and back in our Park City studios, program director Bob Hendricks. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, JW. We are so excited to have you here in our home base in Salt Lake City, Abravanel Hall. It's exciting to have you here for the third time. We've done these live remotes, and we are super pumped to kick off the Deer Valley Music Festival this evening, 19 concerts in 7 weeks.
To think that you've got this beautiful symphony down here, and then the summer home of the symphony in Deer Valley and Park City, we're pretty fortunate. So this is what we're going to be doing for the next hour. Connor Covington will be with us first, principal conductor of the Deer Valley Music Festival. Chris Bode will then be with us. He and his rock-solid band, Most Excellent Band, join the Utah Symphony tonight for the kickoff of the 16th season. We're going to be going to have a little weather. We'll tell you everything that's going on in Park City and Heber Valley and the entire area for the weekend. Then we'll be speaking with Paul Meacham. He's the president of Utah Symphony and Utah Opera. And then we'll be speaking with Renee. And Renee, we'll be doing all sorts of things. It's going to be a fun hour.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. I'd like to introduce now Connor Covington. He's the principal conductor for Deer Valley Music Festival for the 2019 and the 2020 season. Connor, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, and congratulations on your new assignment for the next 2 years. That's it's very exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really thrilled to kind of have an expanded role up at the festival, and it's really one of the greatest venues between St. Mary's, the Chamber Orchestra concerts on Wednesdays, and then the Hill up in Deer Valley on the weekend. It's one of the best venues to hear live music in the country, I think.
You have so many concerts going on, so let me ask you this. A guest artist and his band arrive to rehearse with a symphony, as they did this morning, with a show that's going to be that very same evening. How does this all come together? What sort of advance work do you do with your symphony, and what happens at the rehearsal to be able to tie all this together in anticipation of tonight's performance?
So usually, I'll get the scores at least a month in advance, and then I kind of go through, see what I can find online of the charts, and sometimes they can send me recordings that I can, kind of get an idea, because not always whatever's in the charts or the music itself, it sometimes changes a little bit. So I do my best to prepare as much as I can. And then actually Chris and I just met for about half an hour a little while ago, just went through all these things. And then we have rehearsal with the orchestra for a little over 2 hours. And then we go up and do the show.
It's funny because you're talking about how fast-paced everything is, and I want people to know that, this assignment as the principal conductor of the Deer Valley Music Festival is new to you, but you've been with us for 2 seasons, so can you talk a little bit about your role as the associate conductor of the Utah Symphony?
Sure. So, I do a lot of different concerts. I do all of our education concerts. We do between usually at least 50 performances a year of 4 or 5 different programs that we cycle through. We largely go into schools. This past season I did 4 out of the 5 Pops concerts, 5 out of the 7 movie concerts.
You're like a Renaissance man.
Yeah, last night actually we had the past 2 nights we had a John Williams concert. We had one on Wednesday evening at Thanksgiving Point down in Lehigh, and then last night we had one in Taylorsville for the Taylorsville Days Festival, and then this morning Chris Bode.
So what do you do then to prepare for something like this, the festival, which is such a fast-paced, quick turnover?
So we had a bit of a break in June, and I spent most of that break going through scores and marking scores. So it's you get to a point to where just like the orchestra as well, you have to be able to learn things really quickly. So I've luckily got to a point to where I can absorb things pretty fast and do the rehearsal and then do the show and then on to the next one.
And you're also fitting in a wedding in August?
Yes, I'm getting married in August, so I'm very excited to do that. I'm marrying a woman who is in medical school, and she also has her PhD, so I'm definitely marrying way up, so I'm excited about that.
Connor, I have a technical question for you. You have a musical piece in front of you, and it has the score, which is chock full of information. How much room is there for your own personal interpretation?
Well, it depends on the show. I mean, for me, for this show this evening, it's really about Chris and his band. Mm-hmm. So we're and they've done these numbers a lot more than we have. So I feel like the orchestra is there to kind of serve to help highlight Chris and his band. But for instance, on Monday night, we had a show at the Gallivan Center. We did five different opera overtures and Mendelssohn's Third Symphony. So there's that one I can take a little bit more license with. But my goal as a conductor is to always serve the composer, and so I try not to. I would never change a note of Mendelssohn because it's perfect as it is.
Sure. Because I was always curious. You know, for an example, if we were in New York City and we're listening to a particular song in Les Mis, we're at the Les Mis show, and we were magically teleported to say Chicago, where the same song and a different orchestra were playing. Would they be identical, or are the two maestros, are they slightly interpreting that in subtle ways?
No, I think it would be different, and I think it would be boring if it were the same.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be different, at least to a certain extent, because there's always this, musical notation is just this kind of outline. And,
right.
There's not if you see a G on the staff, well, okay, but how short or long is it? How fast is it? Is it hard or is it soft? And all the different gradations in between. So I think, each person, you try to serve the composer, but then you also have to be yourself at the end of the day. So it's,
That's an exception, though, to the films and concert series that you conduct as well.
Yes, that is an exception. Those need to be exactly with the film. They're fun to do. I'm a little bit in a straitjacket when I do them, but it's important to kind of, there's all these, little details in the score that line up exactly with certain things in the film. So those need to be much more strict and kind of, exactly in time.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, we started the series a couple years ago where we perform the soundtrack to films as they're played live to picture. So we have the full-length feature film on the big screen, and Connor kind of straps in and takes the orchestra for a ride, providing the soundtrack at the same time.
Yeah, it's a very different experience. I think, we just did Harry Potter last weekend. We did Star Wars: A New Hope at the beginning of last May, and it's a completely different experience than watching it at home or even on the big screen, because hearing the orchestra live playing a score like Star Wars is the energy you get coming from the stage, and also in the hall being surrounded by thousands of other Star Wars fans is very different than you would get watching at home.
Connor Covington is the principal conductor of the Deer Valley Music Festival for the 2019-2020 season, which debuts tonight, the 16th season, with Chris Bode and his band front-ending the symphony. We want to thank you so much for joining us, and we're really excited to have you all back in Deer Valley. We've missed you.
Thanks for having us. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now joining us at the table, and he's been with us from the very beginning, is Chris Bode. Chris Bode and his band join the Utah Symphony tonight for the kickoff of the 16th season, and he now joins us in Abravanel Hall, where he begins rehearsal for tonight's performance in about 10 minutes or so. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Chris, the first time I saw you was in a really small venue in Exeter, New Hampshire. It was a Halloween night. Remember all the little trick-or-treaters? And it was a small venue, and it was a couple of years, I think, before the Italia album was released. Now we fast forward to tonight, to today, 15 years later, over 4 million albums sold, multiple gold and platinum, Grammys. You've got crossover and reach where you can take your hot band anywhere in the world and play to a really solid audience. What has this journey been like for you?
Well, it's, I guess, to quote Wizard of Oz, it's like the yellow brick road, and you put one foot in front of the other, and you put a little brick, and then you put a little brick, and then you put a little brick, and then you look back and you say, we were able to, you know, have fun and accomplish and be able to reach a lot of people with the music. But all the accolades, and all, that's very nice of you to read that stuff, but, you know, the number one thing is, do you, you know, especially nowadays, the music business has changed so much that the only currency you have is the exit poll of the audience, because the audience will leave that gig and then they'll just tweet or what Instagram or whatever that the nouveau thing is and say, we like the show, we didn't like the show.
Right.
So your only thing that you have to deal with nowadays is, how long does it take for that promoter, or do they ever call you back? So if the space, you know, if we're able to like come back to different venues and work with the same people, that is the ultimate, you know, great thing. You know, to be able to tour the world with this great group and to be asked back is really all I keep my eyes on now. And then, you know, time takes care of itself, sadly.
You were talking about being on the road for 250 days out of the year. I mean, what is the driving factor? Is this kind of what you're talking about, reaching people and bringing your music to people and being able to interpret things to them through them?
Yeah, I think if you're a pop singer, there's many of them and they're great, some of them, you can be a star overnight. You know, you can get a viral video on YouTube and then all of a sudden you're Justin Bieber or whatever it is, you know. So there are a lot, but for an instrumental artist to be able to break through is literally like a needle in many, many haystacks. And I'm not unaware of my very good fortune. And I don't want those plants to not be watered. And I think a lot of artists, you know, if you look back at the history, a lot of not only jazz artists but popular artists, they take long breaks, they don't water the plants, and then the audience kind of like wilts. And I don't ever want to not be cognizant of my great fortune and be able to make my life's work playing music for people. And going from city to city is what I love to do, and standing on stage and playing my trumpet is something that I'm very blessed to be able to do, and I love it. So the other regular stuff, like having a dog, a cat, or a plant, or something like that, I forego for the better for me, for my sanity.
You talk about having good fortune, but obviously it takes a lot of great talent and perseverance and stamina as well. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of, do you have any regular routine that you take with you day to day that you adhere to that helps keep you sane when you're plane hopping?
Sane, I'm not sure about, but but the, you know, the trumpet is a very demanding, seriously demanding thing. So no matter where I am, there's a minimum of 2 or 3 hours a day of practice. When I'm home, when I'm in one location and I'm not gigging at night or getting on an airplane, then it's 4 or 5 hours a day of practice, still to this day. And when I was younger, it was many more than that. So the trumpet really is a great grounding force. You cannot ever take a day off. I mean, maybe once a month you could take one day off if you're really, you know, on a flight to Japan or something like that. So, but for the most part, the trumpet keeps you in line, and the health aspects of, you know, having to be in good shape to be able to do that. And, you know, it all sort of works in conjunction to make sure that you're on your game.
Do you run? Do you bike? Do you do yoga?
I do all of that. I don't bike. I'm afraid of tipping, you know, so.
Sure.
Poor Bono, you know, like you get in accidents as you get older, and I'm scared of mountain biking and biking and stuff like that. But I do yoga and I do run and work out and do all that stuff.
Yeah. For our listeners that are going to be attending tonight, what can they expect to find?
Well, first and foremost, and I've found that my job is not only to play trumpet and host the gig, is to curate a Rubik's Cube of an all-star group. And so all the musicians, they not only have their own solo records and project, but they're brilliant. And they have awards and accolades. And, you know, so you're going to hear and see, you know, great violinist, incredible pianist, amazing drummer, you know, two different singers, you know. It's a show, you know. My when I make a record, I want the albums to keep everyone in a romantic, beautiful place. But when we do a show, we want it to have a roller coaster, you know. So
sure.
So where they
yeah.
feel the visceral kind of technique that you need to have, but also they feel all the beautiful stuff and hear all the pretty stuff as well. But it's got to be paced like a show, like a real show, rather than just, you know, put on the record and reduplicate the album. It's not anything like my records.
Absolutely, and I would attest to that as well. A couple of years ago, I was at Deer Valley when you were there with your band, front-ending the symphony, and it's a very, very high-level performance, very high energy.
Thank you.
A lot going on. I did have a question from your Impressions album. Mark Knopfler is one of my favorite guitarists. How did the collaboration come together with him on What a Wonderful World?
So my manager was the founding member of a group, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and has known Mark Knopfler for many years. And they were walking together in Hyde Park one day, and Mark, it was Mark's idea. He said, you know, Chris should cover What a Wonderful World. And you know, I always thought that it would because of Louis and Armstrong, and I always kind of thought, well, maybe it's something I don't want to tread. And I said, well, would he be into singing it? And my manager Bobby asked Mark, and Mark said, sure, on one condition, that Mark is a very technical. He has a beautiful studio in London. I mean, it is second to none. So he wanted to do it with his band, and so it was all his band, his musicians, and it's all in one take. The whole thing, there's no editing. He didn't want any blemish. He didn't want any overdubs, no blemish. He wanted everything to be boom. So we sat there and we played it live, all the trading back and forth on the guitar. It's just one whole take. We did three different takes, and that's the second take that we did. But yeah, he was very, very strict about that. And it has the way he delivers the song is just beautiful. I mean, it's like, it's very conversational. And yeah, it's no wonder why he's so beloved as he is.
It's so real when he sings and when he plays his guitar.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Impressions album was excellent.
Thank you.
In that particular cut. And speaking of guitar players, you also had, I just drew a blank, sorry.
Give me.
On Impressions.
Leonardo Muedo? No.
That you did a song with. Oh, I just drew a blank.
Who? Vince Gill?
Vince Gill. Vince Gill. Vince Gill's a great guitarist.
He didn't play guitar on the record.
No,
he did not. But
he's
an awesome musician in person, and we've collaborated on a couple things. He's just a world-class human being. The guy is great and an incredible artist.
Okay. We want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Chris Bode and his band joined the Utah Symphony to kick off the 16th season of the Deer Valley Music Festival.
They've asked us back.
They
see
have
what I'm saying?
Asked
so
back.
A mission accomplished.
And
I love it.
And I think we'll see you again, Chris.
Thank you.
But listen, break a leg, and we look forward to the performance.
All right, all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we will be back right after these messages. You're listening to The Morning Mix on KPCW Live from Abravano Hall with Chris Bode and the Utah Symphony. Stay with us.
Support for KPCW comes from Squatter's Roadhouse Grill and Pub, offering weekend brunch with traditional menu items such as Eggs Benedict and French Toast, as well as Midday Marys and Mimosas. On-site parking available. Squatter's, good for what ails you. Squatter's.com.
Hot Tuna Acoustic Duo takes the Egyptian Theater stage June 27th through the 29th with reduced price tickets Thursday and Friday. Living legends Jorma Konkanen and Jack Cassidy, forming members of Jefferson Airplane, bring their bluesy fusion of rock, free rhythmic techniques, and a collected timber of instruments to our intimate stage. Tickets and information at Park City Shows or the box office at 649-9371. Egyptian Theater is a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
Hi. Dan Dearden here, owner of Just Right Air, sponsor of KPCW programming. Just Right Air has been advising Park City area homeowners to repair, replace, and maintain their heating and air conditioning since 2004. Details at justrightair.com.
67 degrees here in Old Town. Breezy today with a high of 84. And for the weekend, sunny 80 on Saturday, 78 with a few clouds around on Sunday. Once again, 67 degrees in Old Town. And now, back to Renee, JW, and Roger at Abravanel Hall.
Sure do. You sure do.
Thanks, Bob. We want to welcome back listeners to The Morning Mix, broadcasting live from Abravanel Hall, where the Utah Symphony is rehearsing this morning with Chris Bode. Tonight marks the beginning of our 16th season in Deer Valley, and we are delighted to be here for the third year in a row to kick off the Deer Valley Music Festival. I'm Renee Huang, and I'm here with John Wells, engineer, Roger Crawford, and back in the KPCW studios in Park City, Bob Hendricks. Now it's time to give you a rundown of weekend events happening in Park City and Summit and Wasatch counties.
Okay, folks, here's what's cooking. We'll start with Friday tonight, the 28th. Brian Ernst will be at Wooden Shoe Park in PO. The show begins at 6:30 p.m.
Hot House West at Silver Star Cafe at 7:30 p.m.
Super Bubble at the Cabin, show at 6:30 and at 9 p.m.
Hot Tuna Egyptian Theater Show at 8 p.m.
The Delta Z up top at the Boneyard. Show starts at 6:30 on the rooftop.
Rick Gerber and the Nightcaps at the Spur, the Spur Show at 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's going to button it up for Friday. We move to Saturday. Branson Anderson at Miners Plaza at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Daniel Weldon at Miners Plaza at 3:30 p.m.
Again, Hot Tuna for a second night at the Egyptian, 8 p.m.
Smoky Nights Boneyard Live on the Rooftop Show at 6:30 p.m.
Backyard Revival at Silver Star Cafe. The show starts at 6:30 p.m.
If you love dancing, these guys are an amazing cover band. Rage Against the Supremes, the Spur Show at 10 p.m.
Oh, man, it is a good show. Yeah, good dance band. Sunday, June 30th, Park Silly Mark, a couple of bands playing on the main stage. Eric Heidelman and the Blues Project at 11 a.m. And then Silver Strike at 2 p.m. on the main stage.
You know we have pop-ups going on there later on in the summer.
Right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Bad Feather at Billy Blanco's at 6 p.m.
David and Melissa at the Boneyard at 6:30 p.m.
Bruce Music Legends at PCMR, 4 p.m.
And Patrick Ryan at the Spur at 7 p.m.
For our friends in Heber Valley, Homestead Resort Summer Concert Series, 7 p.m., June 29th, with Lindy Butler and Cherry Call.
The Heber Half Marathon will be happening on June 29th, Saturday, from 6 a.m. until 12 noon. It's the Run for Autism. Come support families with kids on the move's first race. Register today. Get an amazing price for this extremely beautiful course with perfect downhill slope from start to finish.
The Cinderella Outdoors is in Midway, June 28th through July 13th. You can go to highvalleyarts.org.
And then join us for the Patriotic Military Appreciation Train World War II. It's a two-hour round trip, includes the Utah Military History Group. They'll be on board the train. You can see authentic World War II U.S. military uniforms and gear. Talk with the members about all things World War II. We'll also be entertained by the Benson sisters on board, if you can remember the Andrews sisters, and of course there'll be a 21-gun salute performed by the Utah Military History Group prior to boarding about 6:40 p.m.
There are food trucks at the Heber Fire Pit Friday and Saturday nights, 5 to 9 p.m. Gather around the fire pit with all your friends and family every Monday, Friday, Saturday through September. You can find out more at thefoodtruckleague.com/findtrucks. The fire pit is between 25th North and 75th North Main Street in Heber.
And before we button this thing up, once again, Chris Bode and his band will be front-ending Connor Covington and the Utah Symphony at Snow Park Lodge tonight. And tickets, I believe, are still available?
Yes, they're definitely still available.
Oh, that's great.
You can go to DeerValleyMusicFestival.org.
Fantastic. Well, welcome back to the Morning Mix. We are now joined at the table by Paul Meacham. He is the president of the Utah Symphony and the Utah Opera. Paul, great to have you back.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Renee.
Yeah. So let's say that you're talking to someone who's just moved to Park City and they're going to the show tonight. They don't know anything about the Deer Valley Music Festival and they don't know anything about the Utah Symphony. What would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them that they're in for a unique experience. The setting is second to none, outdoors in the mountains, great music. Tonight, of course, is Chris Bode, one of the all-time great jazz trumpeters, with one of the great American orchestras, the Utah Symphony. And you can relax, you can, you know, take a picnic, have a glass of wine, just lie on the grass. It is a perfect evening. And so I'd say to anybody who's new, experience it, and you'll want to come back.
The venue, of course, gets used by a lot of different community groups. And so I know that one of the challenges for our organization is really distinguishing what the Deer Valley Music Festival is. So I like to tell people it's if you see it on stage and the orchestra's there, then that's the Deer Valley Music Festival.
And I think that is true. That is really the unique element. And actually, it's pretty unique in the United States to have a mountain resort festival with a major orchestra like the Utah Symphony, and offering such a diverse range of concerts. You know, tonight you've got jazz, tomorrow night you've got Marie Osmond. Later on in the festival, you have a wonderful Hamilton cast singer, Renee Elise Goldsberry. You've got the Indigo Girls at the end of the festival. We're celebrating the music of Aretha Franklin. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing in 1969 with a great program and some incredible visuals. And also the 50th anniversary of two signature Rolling Stones albums from 1969. So you can see that it's just an incredible amount of diverse music to suit all tastes. But what I think what's really central to it all, it's a great family experience, it's a great social experience, I encourage everybody to come out and just enjoy it.
What about, I mean, last year was our 15th anniversary, and we did a whole bunch of partnerships with community groups. Do you want to talk a little bit about how grateful we are to the Park City and Summit County area and what we're doing to really showcase them and how important they are?
Absolutely. It was a great opportunity with our 15th anniversary last year to extend into the community and do pop-up concerts at the Park City Sunday Market and various of the library and various other places. And we're going to do that again this year, expand it. We'll be again back at the Park City Sunday Market, but we'll also be at some galleries, Gallery Mar and the Swartz Gallery. We'll be at the Miners Park. And these are small groups of musicians from the Utah Symphony who are just going to pop up and do a impromptu performance.
And it's a great way for them to also showcase their personalities, and you can get to know them in a more intimate way.
Absolutely.
The outreach and the educational programs are second to none. You've put a lot of time into that. And your experience from Baltimore and the other places that you've run symphonies in the past, you had the same emphasis on those pieces. Why is music education an integral part of a well-rounded education?
Well, that's how long have we got, John? That's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, music education, it provides kids with opportunities to it's not just about appreciation of music. Of course, that's important, but it's also about participation if they play an instrument. But it's more than that. It's about teamwork. You know, if you play in an orchestra, you have to learn how to work with other people. It's about focus. You know, if you're practicing an instrument, to really work. And those kind of life skills, they inform how you do in your other academic subjects, how you work with people in life. Music education is one of those fundamental things that started early, and that's what we do. We really start, you know, with kids across the state of Utah from elementary K through 12. We're hoping to develop skills. We're not necessarily expecting to produce professional musicians, but young people who will go on to achieve their potential. So that's how we see music education. It's a life-building skill.
Yeah. Your third-year anniversary is next week, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Being with the Symphony and the Opera. And I remember meeting you on your first anniversary when we had a remote show at the Capitol Theater. And I remember about halfway from our conversation, we cut into the symphony that was practicing a couple hundred feet away. And I'll never forget this. I looked over at you, and your eyes were closed, and you had this smile on your face as you're listening to this symphonic music, and you were transformed. And I'm watching you. I mean, I knew you were a musician, but you were somewhere else. It was fantastic. I mean, it doesn't get old, does it, Paul?
It never does, and that's why I'm in this business. And for me, it's more than a business. It's my life.
But it's magical.
It is magical, and I think that's what's so wonderful about it. An experience like the Deer Valley Music Festival, because you're combining the magic of the music with the magic of the setting. It is the perfect experience.
How's your 3 years been?
It's been a whirlwind, thoroughly enjoying it. But, you know, one of the favorite things, though, is undoubtedly the festival. And, you know, I started, my first day was the festival, and here we are. This is the beginning of my fourth festival, and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Getting back to music education, so we just talked with Connor, who really is kind of like the face of our educational outreach program. Can we talk a little bit about, you know, the fact that we are a nonprofit? We're Utah's largest performing arts nonprofit. We've been around for more than 75, close to 80 years. People don't really realize that, and that, you know, when you buy a ticket, you're actually supporting the access that these kids are getting. A third of our symphony concerts are actually in schools.
That's right. The symphony was founded in 1940, and it was actually founded emerging out of the Works Progress Administration era, the Roosevelt New Deal. And federal money came to Utah for a group of musicians to perform in the schools. That was the origins of the Utah Symphony. And so that mission to share the joy of music and to take music into the schools started right at the very beginning of our history and has continued to the current day. We have the most robust music education programs of any orchestra in the nation and opera company. And we're very proud of that. We get support from the state of Utah because they value what we do. And so it's integral to our DNA, if you like, and we plan to continue it for the next, 80 years.
20% of our budget is actually spent on educational outreach.
That's
and,
right.
You know, a third of the concerts that we play each year, I think Connor said about 50 he conducts, are in schools across the state.
That's right. And when we say across the state, we really mean all four corners of the state. I mean, we're not just about playing in the big metropolitan areas, but we're playing in Bluff, and we're playing in southeastern Utah, and we're playing in Ibapa on the Nevada Utah state line. So I mean, we're all over. And for us, it's wonderful. The musicians of the orchestra really enjoy that so much, as well as taking music out of the hall into some of these smaller rural communities.
Well, we love coming down the hill and attending symphony concerts and going to the opera, but we're just flattered that you're in Deer Valley. You know, your summer home is in Deer Valley. So, there's a lot of pluses that come from that from us. But what is the economic impact to the town, to the county, to the surrounding counties?
Well, I think it's pretty significant. I mean, at the survey we did last year, 86%, I think, of concert goers had been to a restaurant in Park City. And we have 43,000 people buying tickets every summer. So you start to do the math, that's a pretty significant investment that consumers are making in not just restaurants, but also overnight stays and so on. So the economic impact is significant. But I also like to think about the artistic and spiritual impact as well. I think I like to think that what we're bringing to the community is something that's, uplifts the community and makes it, Park City and Summit County, a special place to be, whether you're visiting or whether you're living there.
Yeah, and Renee gave me some notes here. She says that 54% went shopping in Park City when they were attending a concert. And 70% of the respondents said that Deer Valley Music Festival influenced their decision to visit Summit County. And I think last year you had like 45,000 people.
Was it? I thought it was 43. Throw in an extra couple of thousand there.
Well, Renee likes to round up.
It makes us look good. I'm in PR. You can't help
this. This is my co-host, Renee Huang.
Right.
This is my boss, Paul Meacham.
Very good. But yes, no, it's significant. And but we see it as a very mutually beneficial relationship. I mean, for us, having a home in the summer in the mountains, it helps us to provide year-round employment for our musicians. And that we're only one of 15 full-time orchestras in the nation, which you consider most of those full-time orchestras are in huge metropolitan areas. And here we are in Utah, and we have one of those 15 full-time orchestras. And that's because we're able to attract great players who are here year-round. And the summer festival, if you like, is the piece in the jigsaw that enables us to offer year-round employment for our wonderful orchestra.
Are we the only state orchestra symphony?
Are we the only state? There's the Minnesota Orchestra.
Okay.
There may be one or two others.
Yeah, and I think one of the most interesting things from the survey that we found was that, we thought, oh, well, we're in Park City, so most of our ticket buyers must come from Park City. We found that only 12%, I mean, not only, but a vast majority, almost three quarters, come from mainly Salt Lake, Utah, Davis counties. And then we even have like 15% who come from out of state. So they're coming from like California, Florida, Texas, Arizona. So they're really like looking to our experience to be part right. of their destination.
And I think,
visit.
You know, we've been partners with the Deer Valley Resort all this time because the resort is looking to attract more people to use the resort the broader Park City community during the summer. I mean, and that's been a trend that's just been growing. So, you know, their condos are being occupied over the summer as more mountain bike riding. So, you know, there's we're very much part of that, growth in summer activity. And so it's good to know that we've become a destination, that people are coming here in part because of the festival.
Is there anything else that you'd like us to know about what you all are doing?
Well, I think all I want listeners to do is to go to Deer Valley Music Festival.org, and I think you'll find one or more concerts on there that you're going to enjoy and pick up the phone or go online and buy tickets.
Paul Meacham, president of the Utah Symphony and the Utah Opera, always a pleasure to have you here at this table.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you for joining us. We're going to play a song from Chris Bode right now, and this is When I Fall in Love.
Thank you.
And we shall be right back after these messages. You're listening to The Morning Mix on KPCW, live from Abravanel Hall with Chris Bode and the Utah Symphony. Stay with us.
Programming on KPCW is brought to you in part from a grant from the Rocky Mountain Power Foundation. The Rocky Mountain Power Foundation is the philanthropic arm of Rocky Mountain Power. They support the growth and vitality of our communities through charitable investments. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Power, for supporting KPCW.
This is Earl Foote with Nexus IT. Nexus IT Consultants proudly supports KPCW and other local nonprofit organizations since 1998. Nexus IT contributes off-lease computers and IT equipment to nonprofit organizations throughout communities in Utah. More information, 435-487-9099 or nexusitc.net.
Sundance Institute's free summer movie nights are back. This year's lineup includes brand new films straight from the 2019 Sundance Film Festival, along with all-time festival favorites and award-winning documentaries. Don't miss the 22nd season kickoff Wednesday, July 3rd at Red Butte Garden, featuring a free outdoor screening of Jordan Peele's Oscar-winning feature, Get Out. Get the full lineup and more information at sundance.org/Utah. Sundance Institute is a nonprofit organization supporting KPCW.
Hi, I'm Claudia McMullen, founder of Hugo Coffee Roasters. At Hugo Coffee, we love two things, coffee and dogs, and not necessarily in that order. Part of Hugo Coffee's mission is to save rescue animals in our community. That's why we love sponsoring the Pause for Life Adoptable Moment during the KPCW Classified Show. Hugo Coffee, saving dogs one cup at a time.
Good morning, 9:49. Now we go back to JW, Renee, and Roger at Abravanel Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. We want to welcome back listeners to The Morning Mix, broadcasting live from Abravanel Hall, where the Utah Symphony is rehearsing this morning with Chris Bode. Tonight marks the beginning of their 16th season in Deer Valley, and we are delighted to be here for the third year in a row to kick off the Deer Valley Music Festival.
We're sitting here in the lobby as the light streams in. I'm Renee Huang. I'm the Director of Communications and Digital Media here at Utah Symphony, Utah Opera. And I'm delighted to introduce my colleague, Toby Tolokin, who is the Vice President of Artistic Planning. Welcome, Toby.
Thank you for inviting me. Great to be here. I'm really in the lobby because I'm usually backstage or trying to not be in trouble with the event in the hall, so happy to be in the lobby.
Toby is the man behind the scenes. He's really responsible for programming all of the guest artists and the repertoire, and you work together with our music director and a lot of other senior people in our team. We were super excited just to hear you explain to the listeners a little bit about the process. I mean, how much in advance are you starting, and what kind of challenges do you face as you're programming all of this?
Well, you know, what's interesting about the summer, if I can say, we have a lot of great colleagues in the Valley here, but it also creates a lot of competition. There's actually more demand for artists in the summer than there is, I think, in the what I call the winter season, the September to May period. And so we do have to, you know, kind of work very hard to attract the names that people want to see in the programs. And, of course, we do have that one fantastic difference. We have the Utah Symphony. Everybody else is bringing non-orchestral connected repertoire and artists, but we can bring people like Chenoweth and Marie Osmond and Indigo Girls because they have these wonderful charts for full orchestra. And there's nothing like hearing a full orchestra on that hill.
Well, and speaking of Marie Osmond, so she is our guest artist tomorrow night. She's playing an orchestra show for the first time in 20 years.
Exactly. We are looking at her pristine orchestra charts starting tomorrow morning and playing them tomorrow night with her own conductor, Jerry Williams. So that's very exciting to have the two of them.
And she has some guests as well, right?
Yes. I believe it's Daniel Emmett, who is from
America's Got Talent
2018. And also, I think there's
her nephew.
The nephew, right? Which is
David Osmond.
Yeah, see, Renee knows more about the shows than I do.
Well, you know what?
I just booked them.
I got to do like a little bit of a media tour with her last week. She was the nicest person ever. So hardworking, super positive, just saying, you know, what else can I do? Taking pictures with people, just the sweetest lady ever. So if you don't have tickets, you should come on and support her. She's been 5 decades in shows business, and it's wrapping up a Vegas residency of 11 years. I mean, who does 11 years in Vegas?
Yeah, that is really amazing. And we're so excited because we get to be, like you had mentioned, the first you know, orchestra that's going to be doing her orchestra show, which I assume she's going to, after all this hard work producing those charts, going to take that on the road as well.
Folks, we are in the lobby of a Bravino Hall. If you hear some music in the background, we're about 200 feet from Chris Bodie and his band that is front-ending Connor Covington and the Utah Symphony. So if you hear some music, that's them playing and rehearsing here live on the Morning Mix. And Renee, I wanted to mention to you, Toby looks pretty well rested.
I mean,
he's got so many moving pieces,
have
so many different
off?
Things.
No. I just look better. It's, you know, for the first hour of the morning and then
you look
it's downhill.
So. You look great.
Or it's uphill because we go to Deer Valley tonight.
You know what I'm really curious about? I'm a big space nut, and the Apollo 11 moon landing in the end of July of 1969 was just spectacular, and you guys have put together a very special program. Can you talk about it?
Love to, and I really want to thank the great collaboration we have, and that's what's wonderful about the whole art scene here and beyond, the whole number of organizations that love to work with us and vice versa. And the Clark Planetarium, led by Seth Jarvis, his great team, has agreed to give us a brand new video, thanks to NASA, of course, their collaboration with NASA, for two of the most exciting movements from Holst planets that we'll play. And this is on Friday, July 26th, one performance at Deer Valley with Connor conducting. And we call it the Symphonic Space Celebration. And the movements are the Mars movement from planets and the Jupiter movement, two of the really most energetic ones. And they're also helping us with some actual footage that will go along with the famous opening of the 2001 theme, you might say, from Also Sprach Zarathustra, that from the movie.
Space Odyssey.
Exactly. The actual Saturn V Apollo 11 rocket launch sequence will be accompanying that opening. And we're not doing that, just to give you some inside information, we're not doing that till the top of the second half, because everybody would say, why don't you start with that? Well, because a lot of people don't get there on time, unfortunately, because and so we wanted to hold this moment until it got darker in the second half and have a lot more impact. And there's also other video connections with music by Debussy from his wonderful piece Clair de Lune, which means moonlight. So we'll have wonderful close-up photos of our moon to go along with that. And then this really fantastic piece that we commissioned in for May performance during the Golden Spike. It's about the Transcontinental Railroad, which, of course, was finished in 1869. So we're going to have video that combines that moment, some train sequences, with what happened just 100 years later, which was the first man on the moon, which I think is incredible if you're a history buff. 100 years after the Transcontinental Railroad, we're on the moon.
This is just one of the reasons why Toby is so brilliant, because he is a details guy, and to connect the first lunar landing with the first train transcontinental journey is phenomenal, 100 years apart. Yep.
Steam to rocket power is something.
I can't think of a better score than Clair de Lune, and Debussy is, you know, with the ethereal strings and everything, is just spectacular for that type of thing.
And I'd like to mention there's also music without video from Battlestar Galactica, from Music from the Right Stuff, that's the 1983 movie about the Mercury astronauts, which is the first rocket project. We're going to play a whole sequence of Star Trek, a medley of Star Trek Through the Years, it's called, which is fantastic TV music that we all know and love through the generations of that show, and music from Apollo 13, the famous 1995 documentary by Ron Howard with Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon. So it's going to be a great evening on Friday, July 26th, and Melissa Heath, who is assistant professor of music at UVU and went to school at BYU and got her master's and doctorate at U of U, is our soloist and will be singing some fantastic, again, space-connected things, a beautiful Song to the Moon from Rusalka by Dvorak, and she's going to be also involved in Estrelita, Star of Love, which is a wonderful piece by Manuel Ponce from Mexico. So we get a wide range of great music on this evening, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. Well, just before we go, I did want to remind people as well of our community collaborations with other smaller symphony ensembles, connecting musicians to the community. If they wanted to go online, you can check on our community outreach section, and there's actually 10 different symphony musicians who are featured in pop-ups in and around town, and so that'll be a really fun way for you to connect with our musicians up close and personal. I think I'm going to thank sponsors right now.
Yeah, well, we want to first thank Toby. Toby Tolikin is the Vice President of Symphonic Artistic Planning. Did I get that right?
Close enough.
Close enough.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great
season. Thank you for being here.
And we know you're already working on next season, and you're kind of working on the season after that. So
we're into the 2021s.
Yeah.
Not for the summer, but indoors, yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining
thanks,
us.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
So now I'd like to thank our sponsors, Squatters Roadhouse Grill and Wasatch Brew Pub, San Francisco Design, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
And this is KPCW in Park City, and we want to thank all of our guests, starting with Connor Covington, who's the principal conductor of the Deer Valley Music Festival, Chris Bodie, who is playing tonight with his band in this, to start the 16th season of the Deer Valley Music Festival, Paul Meacham, president of the Utah Symphony and the Utah Opera, and of course, Toby Tolikin, who has just joined us. He is the Vice President of Symphonic Artistic Planning for the Symphony. We also want to thank Roger Crawford, our engineer, who has set this up and just done a spectacular job. We want to thank Bob Hendricks back at the plant, pushing all the buttons. And of course, Renee Huang, my co-host for today. Renee, it's been great working with you as always.
Thank you, and also to KPCW. You guys have been great supporters of us throughout the years, and so we're really grateful to you.
Yeah. We have a couple minutes left. We would like to play a final song by Chris Bodie, and this is Emmanuel. You can also hear the other music in the background, which is the actual symphony, which is rehearsing. Everybody get outside this weekend. Have some fun. Go to the concert tonight. It's going to be good. We'll see you there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to KPCW Park City. NPR News is next at 10 o'clock.